Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat reporter for the Mercury News, and on today's show, I'll break down some of the big changes happening in the Western Conference, discuss a new trade exception target who emerged over the weekend, and get to the fake trade idea of the week.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The moratorium on trades is lifted today, and already we got a big one. Bruce Brown to the Nets for Zan and Musa and a second-round pick. But seriously, as trades start coming in, we already anticipate some changes in the West. The Lakers have flipped Danny Green and the 28th pick to Oklahoma City for Dennis Schroeder. That happened over the weekend. The Rockets now seem to be on the verge of blowing it up. There are reports that James Harden may be interested in moving to the Eastern Conference and teaming up with Kevin Durant on the Brooklyn Nets. We earlier had a report that Russell Westbrook could be being shopped and that they could be completely tearing it down in Houston. That would eliminate a contender. And look, we're not that far away from Houston pushing the Warriors to seven games, okay? I know that things have been rocky with that team over the last couple of years when they've flipped Chris Paul over for Russell Westbrook, and maybe that wasn't the best fit, and they kind of do this whole rebuild, and now Daryl Morey's gone, Mike D'Antoni's gone, but James Harden is still one of the best five players in the league, right? One of the best five, six, seven guys in the league. He's a top five offense unto himself, and you can't count out the Rockets if they've got a guy like Harden. Okay, and we don't know exactly what the Warriors are going to look like after this rebuild this offseason. The Rockets were very much a contender in the Western Conference, even despite everything that's been happening there for the last almost 2 years. And like I said, it's because of the things that Harden can do that they were able, and a lot of other things, but he was central in a team that pushed the Warriors with Kevin Durant at the peak of their powers to seven games in the Western Conference Finals. The biggest threat to the Warriors dynasty was the Rockets. And credit the Warriors. They ended that. They shut it down. And now we might have a contender in the West completely crumble, completely blow it up, completely rebuild. And if Harden goes to the Eastern Conference, yeah, you're going to have a contender in Brooklyn, no doubt. But the path to getting to the NBA Finals for the Warriors just got much easier. Now, we're early in all of this, right? I am recording this Monday morning, 6:30 Pacific time. We're early in all of this. The trade moratorium, like I said, lifts today. Teams can start completing trades at noon Eastern time Monday. We're going to have deals happen between now and the draft Wednesday night. We are going to have things happen. And by the way, the Warriors trade exception expires November 23rd, 5 days after the draft on November 18th. That trade exception is going to be in play. The Warriors are going to be careful with how they implement it, and they're going to monitor what's going on in the league these next few days and after the draft. A lot of things can change, and we're going to get to some of that stuff later on. But I want to stay here, because if the Rockets really blow this thing up and they send James Harden to the other conference, and Russell Westbrook, whatever, maybe he stays. Maybe he gets dealt to Charlotte or Detroit or somewhere else. But if Harden's gone, then Houston's done as a real contender. I mean, they're done. I don't care what you get back. They're done. You're not getting a player like Harden back. Unless something happens with Philadelphia, and now there's rumors that maybe they won't be interested in dealing with Houston because Tillman Fertitta might not want to deal with his old GM, Daryl Morey. But unless you get Ben Simmons back, and even then, I'm not sure that you're a contender right away. I'm not. I think that there's still a lot of rebuilding to do there in Houston. Now, this is all just rumor. Nothing has happened. Nothing's been finalized. But when there's smoke, there's usually fire with things like this. And if I'm James Harden, and I've said this all along, as soon as D'Antoni and Daryl Morey were left the organization, I said this all along. If I'm James Harden, I'm leaving. What do I have to do there in Houston? How does that team rebuild around me? If I'm James Harden, I want to get traded. And that's why I would not be shocked if this happened. And if it does happen, it probably happens in the next 48 hours before the draft, so that the Rockets can rebuild through the draft starting there. The other thing that happened over the weekend, again, the Lakers flipped Danny Green and the 28th pick for Dennis Schroeder from Oklahoma City. Now, Schroeder was always a target for either of the LA teams. The Clippers or the Lakers had a major need for him. I think the trade for the Lakers isn't a great one. I think Danny Green, he had a rough postseason, but in the regular season, he was a really important piece for them. He's such a great perimeter defender. And when you're going to go up against guys like Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, everybody else that you have in the Western Conference, I think you need those perimeter defenders. He lightened the load for LeBron James on that end quite a bit. But I think Schroeder fills another need for them too, where they get that lead ball handler, a guy who can create shots, who can make things happen at the end of quarters, at the end of shot clocks, at the end of games. And look, Rajon Rondo was nice for them in the playoffs, but they want some insurance in case Rondo leaves in free agency, and Schroeder is a better player right now than I think Rondo is. Certainly offensively, defensively, he's good enough, right? He's not a schmuck on defense. I mean, the guy could do stuff, and I think there's other ways for the Lakers to backfill Danny Green. There's already rumors that they could be interested in Wesley Matthews, not as good as Danny Green, but does some of the same things. Kyle Kuzma really came on strong in the postseason. I don't think people are talking enough about that, how good he was defensively in the bubble. That could have been a reason why the Lakers felt comfortable in dealing Danny Green. And with the 28th pick, you're not going to get a whole lot of value there. I think it was a valuable asset, but if this was the move, Danny Green in the first-round pick, that was their trade package. They still have now Kuzma as a possible asset. And by the way, now they have Schroeder as a possible asset. If that doesn't work out, they can always deal him down the line. They're going to re-sign Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Now you have, with Schroeder and Pope, whatever you re-sign him to, they're going to have his bird rights. You have you have players that you can kind of stack, salaries that you can stack, and players that teams might want, right? Guys like that, between Kuzma and Schroeder and KCP. So this is all to say that the Lakers are in the middle of a reshuffling, that they won the championship, sure, but they are not resting on those laurels, and that they are trying to get stronger. I think the Schroeder trade by the end of the offseason is going to end up making the Lakers a better team, even if Schroeder's not a better player in a vacuum than Danny Green. I think they're very different players, and I think you can call it even, basically, and then you basically lose out on an asset in the first-round pick. But by the time, apologies for the sirens, city life, but as soon as the offseason's over, I think the Lakers are going to be stronger, and that's going to motivate the Warriors that much more to get stronger on their own. By the way, the NBA draft is finally upon us. The Locked On Podcast Network will have a live draft coverage this year on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch at Locked On Live. It will be the only place that you can find Chad Fohr, the GOAT of draft analysis, on the night of the draft. Join Chad, Brad Rowland of Locked On Hawks, and David Locke for the most in-depth coverage of the NBA draft, featuring analysis from Jerry Muwu of Sports Illustrated. Follow Locked On Live on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch, and get alerts as soon as they go live. Let's also talk about Built Bar. If you're like me, when you get hungry, you can make bad decisions, but the best way to avoid blowing your diet is to be prepared. That's why I always have a box of Built Bars in the kitchen. Not only is this the best tasting protein bar I've ever had, it's the most healthy and it fills me up while I'm busy or I'm on the go. With 18 amazing flavors, including new ones like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, and apple almond crisp, Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate and soft and easy to chew. They taste like a candy bar, but they're low calorie and low sugar, while also being high in protein and fiber, making them perfect for keto and other low carb diets. I've gotten off track, not gonna lie, over the last week or so. I am locking it in. It's Monday. I'm getting back to my good eating habits. I'm getting back into the gym. I'm doing a lot more cardio. I'm trying to shape up before Thanksgiving, and I know that I'm gonna go off again. I wanna make this a good couple of weeks before the Thanksgiving holiday. And so Built Bars are going to be a major component of that. I'm actually going to have two Built Bars a day, so I just ordered another box. It should be getting in here this afternoon. So I'm going to have two Built Bars a day as snacks in between meals, just to make sure I'm pumping up that protein and I'm getting good, healthy proteins in my system, and then I'm not eating something bad for me, and then I'm able to lock it in before Thanksgiving. So go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order, plus a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Tune in Wednesday night after the draft, after you are done with the Locked On Live special, and I'm going to have an in-depth breakdown of everything that happened on draft night here on Locked On Warriors, on just what happened with the Warriors on draft night and where they go from there for the rest of the offseason. Every Monday, I try to get to one more leftover question from Friday's mailbag, but this is a little bit different because of everything that happened during the weekend. So this question actually trickled in over the weekend. I mentioned the Danny Green deal before. Muggsy Smith writes in, what's your preferred trade exception target, Rudy Gay or Danny Green? I think this is a great question. It's something the Warriors need to be asking themselves, and it is why that they are monitoring the landscape of things with this traded player exception. Like I said before, now they have a firm expiration date on the TPE, the $17.2 million trade exception that was created last summer when they traded Andre Iguodala to Memphis. Again, worth $17.2 million, so they can absorb a salary of up to $17.2 million without sending anything back, right? You're able to easily absorb that. And the reason why they are – now they have some time between now and the end of the draft and after that. I mean, the draft is November 18th. Free agency is going to start on the 20th, and then on the 3 days later, the trade exception is going to expire. So they have some time to see what happens. And things like what happened over the weekend with the Lakers is the reason why you want to wait if you're the Warriors so that you know you can get the best deal possible. Rudy Gay made a lot of sense for Golden State for a very long time. It's a player that we've been talking about as a possible target with the trade exception since it was created last year, right? This is a guy who can play small forward, but in the later stages of his career, mostly plays the four, power forward, even played some center for the San Antonio last year. A big body who I think could help unlock some of those small ball lineups when you have Draymond Green at center. That said, he's older, and at $14 million, might not be worth that kind of money. And he's on an expiring contract, but I think Danny Green, right around there at $15 million, a much better perimeter defender than Rudy Gay is at this stage of his career, a much better three-point shooter than Rudy Gay ever was, a proven postseason performer. His performance in the bubble was not good, but, I mean, there's a lot of things happening there, right? I mean, a lot of extenuating circumstances that even off the court that could have impacted. I'm not going to hold that against Danny Green. I still believe in him as a postseason performer. And if you're the Warriors, those are kind of the guys that you're looking for. And Rudy Gay, by the way, has been good over the last few years for San Antonio. I think both of them would be nice targets for Golden State. It's just, what are you looking for if you're the Warriors? I think you need more perimeter defense if you're Golden State, and for that reason, I may opt more for Danny Green than Rudy Gay, even if Rudy Gay can unlock some of those small ball lineups that we're talking about. But that said, the Warriors believe Andrew Wiggins can play the four next year. And if that's the case, because, look, he's slight and he's skinny, but they believe that he's really strong and that he could play that position. And so if you go into next season with Andrew Wiggins still on the roster and you bring in Danny Green, then you can have a closing lineup of Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Danny Green, Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green. That's not bad. That's really good and switchable on defense. Slightly undersized, no doubt, but versatile. And I think if you're the Warriors, you're going to try to overwhelm teams with size, speed, shooting, and versatility. I don't think you're going to try to copy what the Lakers have done and just go big. I don't think that if you're the Warriors, you can do that, especially if you envision closing with Danny or with Draymond Green at center. You're going to want to play small and get other teams to match up to you. And that's, by the way, how Golden State has gotten to this point in the first place. They're not all of a sudden change their identity, I don't think. And so they're going to try to get teams to match up with them. Danny Green fits what they want to do in that respect. And now that he's not on the Lakers, the only reason he's an option now is because it was hard to see a world where the Lakers sent a good player to the Warriors. Right, a player that they can, a team that they may be competing with in the Western Conference Finals, to make them better. That was never going to be an option. But now that the Lakers moved Danny Green to Oklahoma City, well, Oklahoma City's rebuilding, and the Warriors have two second round picks that I don't envision them using on play. I very strongly doubt that the Warriors end up getting two players in the second round who make the roster next year. So you could package those two second round picks. Because Oklahoma City is just an asset accumulation mode. Take those two second-round picks and bring Danny Green into the trade exception. That's certainly a possibility. I think he'd be a really nice... When we talk about all the players who are available at the trade exception, Danny Green's as good as any of them, right? I mean, Dennis Schroeder's off the table now. He was never really a target for Golden State in the first place. They never really had the assets. Like, even the Lakers offering the expiring contract of Danny Green and 28th pick doesn't sound like a lot, but it's better than anything the Warriors could offer. Warriors aren't giving up their second pick in the draft for Dennis Schroeder, and they're not going to give up a future first for Schroeder. So, yeah, I think Danny Green, when you talk about guys like Rudy Gay, Kelly Olynyk, you know, all these players that we talk about, Green's as good as any of these guys. And so I think it depends if you're the Warriors. Are you able to add size in another way? Because they still need size. Mid-level exception. Minimum contracts. Are you able to get size in another way and then therefore able to bring in Danny Green? Or are you able to add perimeter defense in another way? And then if that's the case, maybe you opt more for like a Rudy Gay. All things equal. And I think that's why over the next few days, you're going to continue to see other trade targets emerge, right? As possibilities of guys that we didn't think maybe were possible before. You're going to see a lot of other things sort of come into focus and maybe get a better idea of where the Warriors are going to go with that trade exception. Coming up, we've got our fake trade of the week, and of course, it does involve the Rockets. This is Locked On Warriors. If you haven't already done so, now is a perfect time to hit that subscribe button to get episodes of Locked On Warriors every day. Keep it here all week for the latest and greatest news on the NBA draft and analysis on everything that's going on in the league. The fake trade of the week comes from Bot Exemplary, at Bot Exemplary on Twitter, who writes in, who proposes the following. The Warriors get Paul George and Rodney Magruder. The Rockets get Golden State's number 2 overall pick, Andrew Wiggins, Lou Williams, and Kevon Looney. And the Clippers get Russell Westbrook, Robert Covington, and Golden State's own 2021 pick. So again, I'll repeat that. The Warriors get Paul George and Rodney Magruder, Andrew Wiggins, Lou Williams, Kevon Looney, and the number 2 pick to Houston, Russell Westbrook, Robert Covington, and Golden State's own 2021 first rounder to the Clippers. Look, I kind of like where you're thinking here. I think part of what the Warriors are going to be thinking this offseason is how can they kind of latch on to another deal? How can they become the third team in other trades? Because when you look at just straight one-for-one deals, there's really not a whole lot that makes sense out there for the Warriors. For example, if you took this trade and kind of took the Rockets out of it and basically the Warriors are trying to get Paul George, what are they sending to the Clippers? Andrew Wiggins? And the number 2 pick, how is that of use to the Clippers, right? That makes no sense. The Clippers aren't rebuilding. Andrew Wiggins is a clear downgrade to Paul George. They have no need for the number 2 pick. Like, what are they going to do with James Wiseman or LaMelo Ball or Anthony Edwards? Like, what are the Clippers going to do with those players? Nothing. So you add a Houston team who may be rebuilding, and if they indeed do decide to blow this thing up, then maybe they do have more of a use for Andrew Wiggins in the number 2 pick, right? Wiggins, 25 years old, number 2 pick, obviously something that you would want to pick like that to start your rebuild, right? Westbrook goes to the Clippers. They get a ball handler that the Warriors otherwise couldn't offer. The Clippers need a ball handler, a guy to run offense so that Kawhi Leonard can you take a little bit of that off of Kawhi's plate. They get a nice wing defender like Robert Covington. And then for the Warriors, you basically replace you get the official Kevin Durant replacement in Paul George, right? Paul George replaced Durant in Oklahoma City. Maybe he could replace him again in Golden State. I like the deal, honestly. Like, if you're the Warriors, you have to do this. I mean, you're really, if you're able to flip the number 2 pick in Wiggins for Paul George, you do that every day of the week. And I don't think Paul George is a great postseason performer, but if he's playing next to Steph and Klay and Draymond, he doesn't really have to be. All he has to do is go out there and defend, and hopefully hit a few more threes than he did in the bubble. And he was one of the guys who, admittedly, you know, he admitted himself, struggled with the bubble life the most. So you would assume that the next time, when you're not playing in a bubble, he might be a little bit better. So, I think it's a win for the Warriors. Yeah, you're giving up, you know, the number 2 pick and a chance to find a future all-star. Paul George isn't the future face of the franchise, but you're in this deal, you'd be maintaining that, you'd still have that Minnesota pick next year to go ahead and go get that sort of player. Now, I don't know that the Clippers do this. I still don't like Paul George for Westbrook. Even if you're able to get another first-round pick in Robert Covington and deal, like, those are just ancillary assets. When you're really talking about that sort of deal for the Clippers, you need to weigh whether or not Westbrook is an upgrade over Paul George. I've heard that swap mentioned before. Maybe it makes sense on paper, but I still don't think that the Clippers, at the end of the day, make that swap. And this is not reporting. This is just me guessing. Paul George is such a better, more efficient player than Russell Westbrook is. When push comes to shove, I just don't think that the Clippers pull the trigger on that. I just don't think that they end up doing that. If you're Houston, I think you have to. I think that's a no-brainer for Houston. Like, if they go the direction of blowing it up, that's the way to do it. And this would come probably maybe even after a James Harden deal, when it's clear that you need to blow things up. Because this doesn't really... Wiggins plus Harden, like, this doesn't make them better with Harden, right? This would only be if Harden leaves. So there's a lot of moving parts that have to happen here. The Rockets have to admit and acknowledge and get on the road to a massive rebuild. And then the Clippers have to make a decision that Westbrook, whatever he is able to do for Kawhi, is better than what Paul George. By the way, Paul George does not make Kawhi Leonard better, and Kawhi Leonard doesn't really make Paul George better. I've said that all year long. That's why I was dubious about the Clippers and their title champions in the first place. That's why I always bet on the Lakers, because I thought that their stars, LeBron and Anthony Davis, made each other better, where the Clippers stars, Paul George and Kawhi, did not make each other better. It was more of a me-turn-your-turn type deal. And so I think you could see a world in which Westbrook makes Kawhi better, because he's able to get to the rim, handle the ball. Kawhi, you take that off his plate. He can just go back to more of that wing score position or role that he was playing when he played with guys like Kawhi Leonard and Tony Parker. And that's a sweet spot. But still, I mean, that's a pretty massive downgrade, I think, from Paul George to Russell Westbrook. And I just don't think the Clippers pull the trigger on that. But that's just my guess. But thanks as always to what was your name on Twitter again? Bot Exemplary for sending that in. Continue to send in those fake trade ideas. We'll get to them every week. Continue to listen to Locked On Warriors throughout the week. Remember to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, say nice things about the show. Thanks to Built Bar for sponsoring today's episode. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to me at wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and I'll see you here tomorrow morning.